News. I'm Ray, and say hi to Joe.
Hi.
Hi.
Jerry Longo was a detective sergeant in our Connecticut State Police, and he's now the top investigator at Mohegan Sun. And he's got an interesting story. It has to do with a gentleman who for years has created what were called mass quantities of undetectable slot machine tokens. And Jerry caught up with Louis Colavecchio at Mohegan Sun and put the cuffs on him, and we want to talk to him now. Sergeant, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good to have you on.
Good, thanks. Thanks for being with us. So when at Mohegan Sun were you first aware that Colavecchio was infiltrating your casino with fake coins?
Well, the story is a long one, but we're going to keep it short. I got notice from the New Jersey State Police that they were getting counterfeit tokens down there, and I was an investigator working assigned to both casinos, Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun.
Right.
So the way they caught him was inventory. What happened was he was bringing the fake tokens in, which were almost as good, if not better, than the original.
Yeah.
And they were piling up.
Okay.
Let's say the casino had 1,000 $10 tokens.
Oh, God.
Well, next Tuesday they had 1,100. You know, they aren't rabbits. They're not multiplying by themselves. Somebody's bringing them in. So it became an accounting issue where we were monitoring the levels of tokens coming in every day. And his big mistake was using $100 tokens when he went to the $100 slot machine.
Yeah.
There's a heavier concentration of cameras on larger denominations.
Of course, Hey, Jerry, Sergeant, let me ask a question. I mean, did this guy make money? In other words, when he took like the $10 coin and used it to play a machine, was he, you know, was he making money?
He was making, well, you got to figure, if you could go to the casino every day and play for free, whatever you make is what you make.
It's yeah. Although apparently, from what I understand, he actually, well, first of all, this guy, it was fun reading about Colavecchio, because this guy had quite a history.
He had a history going back to when he was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one of the first things he did was he ripped off the world, the World's Fair.
Yeah.
Him and another kid made fake busts of the Ponte Vecchio, a statue in Rome, and they had made fake notes from the Pope and stuff, and they were selling.
God,
come on, really?
Yeah, I was telling Joe about this.
He's a master counterfeiter.
I was telling Joe about these things that they were doing. I can't remember the name of the guy. Somebody else, but they were making these like cashmere sweaters, which weren't cashmere, and which the first time you wash them, they fall apart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was doing jewelry and he would take stones into his possession and replace them with fake stones. We actually ended up being friends, which is really
I know.
Good, he's a criminal, and you know, I'm supposedly one of the good guys, but he. He told me that he liked me so much because I didn't rough him up like they did in other jurisdictions. But I mean, they treated him badly. I don't mean with a hammer and chisel or anything, but they were rough on him. And I made an appointment with him to meet him, and I brought some cannoli and some coffee.
Aren't you guys?
We sat and we talked, and then he talked to me, and he gave me information that we used, and you know, that was helpful in the industry. So. You don't have to be rough to get information.
No.
But you did have to put cuffs on him, right?
Oh, I didn't cuff him, actually.
No.
Technically, I processed him as a prisoner, but I met him at the barracks. He came and we met. And when he left, they actually, a lot of news agencies had gotten word, and we allowed him even to go out the side door. So he remembered that. And then he sent me a Christmas card, which is really strange.
I love this.
Through headquarters, but...
Yeah.
And I responded, and we ended up doing some speeches at some colleges, and it was just a weird relationship. And
you know, Jerry, I got to tell you, one of the things I'm a big fan of the Boston Mob, the base Whitey Bulger and his crew.
Oh yeah,
you know, stuff that Howie Carr writes about. But I mean, it was like, you know, it was fun to read about Providence because they kind of loomed large in the story of the Irish Mafia up, and because they tried to move into Boston, they couldn't do it, or it was very difficult.
Right.
But I mean, there's
in this case, I mean, it was discovered that he was given a lot of his startup money by the patriarch.
Yes, yes. My favorite
was Louis Menacchio, or the guy they call Baby Shanks, was running the thing at the time. And Junior was locked up in federal prison. And I actually flew out to Illinois to interview Junior, and
God.
He sucked me right in. He beat
oh,
me.
Oh, they're good.
I got all the way out there, got in the little room. He came in, he looked in the window, he says, nah, I don't want to do it, and went back to his cell.
Oh, wow.
So I never got to talk to him, but...
That's, you know, it's really weird because, you know, number one, Patriarca. Who's the guy that gave some guy like $500,000? He was going to buy some property in Vegas, and some guy got a hold of him, some geologist, and got him buying properties that allegedly had oil on them. But the oil,
yeah.
I mean, you're killing yourself. I mean, Patriarca, you'd be afraid of that guy, Ray. Good
oh,
old
yeah.
Ray.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, when Foxwoods first opened, we became really good, closely connected to the Rhode Island State Police and the intelligence units there. And I would walk through with, they would make me flashcards of organized crime guys. That
really?
In my pockets.
So you'd be ready
and
for them.
And I could pick them out. And I was giving them intel back and forth. And it worked
cool.
out really well for the both of us for a while.
Hey, in doing research for this, I also yeah. found out that you wrote a book about the state police. How was that? What was oh. that like?
I contributed to a couple, mostly for internal, for our own consumption,
yeah.
troopers and families and stuff, on the history of the state police. But I wrote one through the Arcadia
right.
book company, which are those books you see everywhere on towns
yep.
and companies and
right.
and mill towns and all that stuff. Really cool stuff. They're very easy to write. And I did one on the state police. It was pretty well received, but all the money goes to our museum. We have a museum.
Which you're still actively involved with, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm the chairman of the museum.
That would
yeah.
be actively involved.
Yeah, I'd say
yeah, that. And I'm the president of the Alumni Association. So.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I would say,
how
yeah.
has, how, ahead, hey, how, in the time we've got left, how much more difficult has the job of the state troopers become, Jerry, from the time you started to now?
I tell you, I have a different theory than most.
Okay.
It's a shared theory, but it's not out there, I don't think, as much as it should be. My theory was, when I did what I did, everybody didn't have a lawyer or a cell phone.
Right.
Well, true.
Right.
And if something happened, if there was a shooting, let's say, involved with a police officer in Minnesota, you didn't hear about it in Connecticut.
Right.
But you hear about it instantly.
Exactly.
On CNN, MSNBC, your station, this station, that station. Everything's broadcast instantaneously.
Yeah,
I don't think anything's happening any more or any less than it always has been. It's just more broadly.
Exactly, I think you're right.
It's a great point. You know what? That's a great point.
You know, Jerry, let me ask you a final question here from me.
Yeah.
Is you know, who's running? Is it individuals now that are trying to scam casinos, or is it an organized thing?
Oh, it's both.
Okay.
It's both. We get hit from every single angle, inside and out. Sometimes there's collusion between our employees at casinos and outside and family members. And, but there are organized teams of cheats that go around. And that's a whole other interview.
Well, you got
well,
a
that's
lot,
your next book.
You got a lot of stories to tell, my friend. We should get you in here for an hour and
yeah.
just wind you up and
yeah.
let you go, because this is good stuff.
Do you guys pay? I mean, no, I'm only gambling.
As Billy Preston once so
nice
eloquently
going.
Saying,
I only look for donations. I don't take the money. Right.
As Billy Preston once so eloquently saying, nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
There you go.
Jerry Longo, the retired state police detective sergeant. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it.
And by the way, the name of the book, if you want to pick it up just about anywhere, it's called You Thought It Was More. It's a Providence.
Well, that's the Colavecchio book. He's not.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not involved in that.
Well, no, but it's, no, it's a good story.
No, I understand that.
Yeah. The old mob. God, how cool. But he did make the arrest, so there is all of that.